97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in the 16th day of October. And I'm laughing because Carl Middleman tossed a pen to me just as I started speaking. Fortunately, it was a bad throw and it landed below me.
I wasn't throwing it at you. I was throwing it to you.
I was waiting for you to say it was just a bad catch.
No.
You didn't even defend it.
That's okay.
It was a bad throw.
That's all right. I didn't have to duck.
It landed where I wanted it to land.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't trying to hit him.
That's what he's saying anyway. I don't know. Call HR. Happy that you could be here with us. Up on Rumble, we are live on Facebook. We're live on X. Obviously, Odyssey app, if you want to go there. Carl, we're on YouTube.
We are.
Which YouTube channel are we on, Carl?
The station's YouTube channel.
All right. So 97.1 FM Talk there. You can find us on the YouTube channel.
And this is the first time you've been on YouTube for since when?
COVID.
So I got banned from YouTube when I had my own YouTube account and because I got three strikes on there for talking about things they didn't want me to talk about back during COVID. And I don't know how many strikes. We'll see how many strikes we get on this one, and how bad the big tech censorship is. But we are live on the YouTube this morning as well.
Well, on Facebook, it's one strike and you're out.
Well, it's one strike and you're at least suspended, and you can't even argue it. I mean, it's just so silly. That's why I've loved Rumble so far, because a number of people switched over to Rumble, and I think they've kind of stayed there. And thanks to you, all of you who are watching this morning on Rumble or however you're watching, all we're trying to do is give you options. There are a bunch of different ways you can watch us, depending on where you are or what's most convenient for you. Obviously, the radio is the easiest, but you've got the Odyssey app, and you can leave us a message if you're on the Odyssey app. You can type in, and we always watch the comments here on Facebook and on Rumble in the mornings. Carl, are we going to have to monitor the YouTube feed for comments?
Yeah,
is there commentary on there?
There can be.
All right. We'll have to look that up and see. Because, again, this is the first morning we've had the show on there. So if you want options, we got options for you. Hey, you know, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday. My wife is a book coach. And she's certified in it. And she helps people who've always wanted to write books. Maybe you don't know how to start, or maybe you started one and you stopped because it got too complicated. And I'm talking to her about this because it's kind of the business that she's in. And I'm like, you know, she talks to me a lot about this AI technology that's available today and how it's used in marketing stuff, right? Well, it would also be pretty simple, it seems to me, like to if you're going to put a book together and you didn't have the ability you'd have the ability to write a sentence or a paragraph because you're just either not a writer or you don't have the confidence in yourself to do it, you could let AI do that for you. Or you could just plagiarize it from Wikipedia.
Wait, so she doesn't coach people to plagiarize from Wikipedia?
Believe it or not. She does not encourage that. Now,
wow.
I was talking to her about the whole plagiarism issue, right? It's been an issue for years among authors, and you got to be very careful when you're writing a book or when you're reading a book somebody else is writing that they're not borrowing information from somewhere else. I mean, it's just a conversation that I was having with her about this. I sent her this article on Kamala Harris and the evidence that she lifted direct passages for her book from Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia is not a news source. It's editable. You could go on today and change what Wikipedia says about somebody or something.
I have.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts. So we're going to talk to Dr. Mina Bose about this budding controversy. Is it an October surprise? I don't know. Is it a surprise to anybody that Kamala Harris would have to borrow words from somebody else? Because God knows her word salad wouldn't sell.
Well, how much of the book do you think she herself even wrote? I'm not talking about how much of it Wikipedia.
She had a co-writer.
Oh, okay.
She'll just blame it on the co-writer. Like Shohei Ohtani and his trainer or whatever the guy was that used his money.
His interpreter?
To gamble, but Shohei had nothing to do with it. I'm just saying. It'll be something like that will be the excuse we get. We'll talk to Dr. Mina Bose about that coming up here in just a few minutes. I got to Nicole like Murray, that. A check of business here at the bottom of the hour.
What's wrong? YouTube.
Yes.
I have to mute YouTube.
Ah.
Damn YouTube. Oh, now that's a strike.
Uh-oh.
If I said, damn it, YouTube.
Well, hit the drop button, Carl.
That's all right. It's fine.
Okay, good. And we'll also get to another news before the end of the hour. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Right now, we're going to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
If you can think of the issues that people care about, that they ask pollsters or they answer to pollsters what they care about, those questions are going to be in the mix.
All right, Brett Baer responding to all of the inquiries as to how in the world he will handle Kamala Harris and that interview that you'll be able to watch, I think, at about 6 o'clock tonight on Fox. Isn't it 6 o'clock?
I thought it was 5 our time.
Oh, maybe 5 Central. Check. We'll confirm that for you.
As it relates to the economy, which is a lot of what you have addressed. Look, I grew up in the middle class. My mother, you know, worked hard, raised me and my sister.
He asked you about reparations, right? Yeah, and your family didn't grow up in America, so I don't know what you being in the middle class had to do with the answer to that question.
Every one of these initiatives, by the way, Kamala Harris is talking about, mentorship, apprenticeship, these are all buzzwords. These are all buzzwords. You know, I'm 23 years old. Now you want to give me an apprenticeship?
Now you want to give me an apprenticeship? That was Charles Payne. We're going to get him on here a little later in the 8 o'clock hour. He went sideways on these proposals, of course, by Kamala on how she's going to buy the black male vote.
She's like DEI Santa Claus. You know, the blacks get cash, the college grads get crash, illegals get the sex change operations.
Yeah, the Jesse Waters, yesterday, the DEI Santa Claus. I love that. You know what she proposed yesterday. Number one is illegal because it discriminates against anybody that's not a certain skin color. Imagine Donald Trump proposing, "I'm going to give cash if you're a struggling white business person. You're trying to get your business off the ground, but you can't. I'm going to make sure there's a fund for that."
Yeah,
I'm sorry. You're going to exclude anybody else who's a struggling business person based on the color of their skin? And this is a legitimate proposal by your campaign. I mean, are you kidding me? So you know what he mentioned there is he's going to give away money for transgender stuff. Did you hear the interview back in 2019 where Kamala Harris admitted that she overrode state rules to make sure that a guy who was on death row for murdering a married couple by going onto their boat, tying them to the anchor and throwing them over the side. When he was in prison, he decided he was a different gender. He was on death row. And she went in and insisted that the state taxpayers pay for his gender reassignment surgery.
Did that go through?
When I was Attorney General, I learned that the California Department of Corrections, which was a client of mine, I didn't get to choose my clients.
Right, a client of the Attorney General.
A client of the Attorney General, right. Of the Office of Attorney
General. He's talking to a transgender interviewer here, she is, back in 2019.
That they were standing in the way of surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. And there was a specific case. And when I learned about the case, I worked behind the scenes to not only make sure that that transgender woman got the services she was deserving. So it wasn't only about that case. I made sure that they changed the policy in the state of California so that every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access to the medical care that they desired and need.
Yeah.
It's called Toxic Empathy, and Ali Beth Stuckey has a new book out about it. But you start to feel, they want you to feel sorry for the prisoner, not the victim that he killed. The victims in this case that he killed.
Yeah. Thomas and Jackie Hawks were the victims in this case.
Wow.
Forget the name of the screwed up, mentally ill, transgender individual that killed them. He's the one that got all of the attention and all of the taxpayer money. Unbelievable. Coming up, since we're talking about Kamala, let's talk about the plagiarism. We'll talk to Dr. Mina Bose about that in just a minute. Stay tuned. Yeah, here's the headline this morning in the New York Post. Kamala Harris' book publisher is directing very sensitive plagiarism questions to higher ups. I'm sorry, you're the publisher. Who's higher up? I would be interested in knowing. I mean, this is something that the mainstream media, if you just Google the story, the mainstream media has tried desperately to ignore it so far. And we got Dr. Mina Bose with us, political analyst, executive director, and dean for public policy and public service programs at the Calico School of Government and Public Policy. Dr. Bose, welcome in. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, my reaction to this was stunning. I said earlier, my wife is a book coach of all things. I brought this up to her, and she's like, how did that ever get through the editing process that nobody realized some of this stuff might have been lifted straight from Wikipedia?
Yeah, well, or without proper attribution, right? There's a news release. This is a book about addressing crime. There was a citation from a school in New York from a press release that the source was cited, but the material should have been in quotation marks. Without a doubt, I learned about the story when I was teaching yesterday, and I discussed with my students. And as someone who's spent my entire career teaching, I would say, you know, it is a problem, right? I would never say that we should take lightly when someone misattributes or uses a quotation without citations. But it is always a problem, and it should be corrected. My understanding from the New York Post article is I think that it's the director of marketing who's looking into this. I mean, I think they are going to correct it. It's just, but this is, let's just say, right, when you have a presidential candidate 3 weeks before an election, this isn't something that anyone who's not at the top, that someone at the top needs to respond, right? I think this will be corrected. I will say that and this isn't justifying it, but a co-authored book by a public official who was running for attorney general at the time. I think this was right. This was right during the 2010, came out right before her book, before her election as attorney general. People can be careless. And again, I'm not justifying it, but I just don't think that the level of editing and scrutiny goes into a campaign style book that it does for, or that it would, you'd expect it for an academic book.
Well, maybe not, but I mean, I think you or I could both say that as public people whose faces are out there and we're on the air all the time, if somebody's going to co-author something with me, my name's going to be attached to it. I'm going to be pretty dogged on making sure everything in there is correct.
I think that we're starting to see that we're going to have a lot more attention to that. I will say, frankly, that a lot of candidates, publishing a book is kind of what you do now.
Yeah.
When we see what's on the campaign trail, the amount of time and work that's required, people are not writing their own books, right? This is why they're always citing with the assistance of, or at least this one did say co-authored with. I'm sure the co-author is kind of looking back at this fairly carefully right now.
Yeah.
But I think the point is a good one. Maybe we shouldn't be expecting public officials to write books. But that's not on us. Maybe candidates should be, really comes back down to the person whose name is on the cover, yeah. Right? That you have to be responsible. I don't see this, however, I have to say, kind of becoming a major campaign issue.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Probably not at this point, but it's still pretty interesting stuff. Dr. Mina Bose, thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, the co-writer was Joan O.C. Hamilton, who I've never heard of, but who helped write the Career Prosecutor's Plan to Make Us Safer. I guess the next one is The Art of the Deal. She's going to copy that one, too. Coming up, we'll get to Nicole Murray with the latest on the business. We'll be right back. So was there any sports on TV last night?
We were on ESPN. The St. Louis Blues were.
Did the Yankees play?
That was on FS1.
I was watching part of that game. Started out strong. Guardians made stupid mistakes.
The who?
Guardians.
Oh, Mark,
the same as the Indians?
Yes, I was watching. I've obviously been reporting on it, but I was watching the game, and I'm like, when did they become the Guardians? I'm like,
because it's not politically correct.
Yes, they were the Indians.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. What do they call the Washington football team now?
Commanders.
Oh, so the Redskins. I usually just wear my Redskins shirt to work on those days, just to remind people. You don't have to buy into that stuff.
Remember the little Chiefs fan?
What's that?
Remember the little
Chiefs
fan?
Oh, yeah, he sued.
He won that lawsuit, by the way.
Really?
I believe he did. I believe he did.
I'm glad to hear that. I was watching a little bit of the Kentucky Midnight Madness basketball thing last night, so I kind of tuned all other sports out. But I'm sure that was a big topic of discussion with Gordon Deal this morning. Let's get to Nicole. Nicole Murray, good morning.
Good morning.
So you're not a big sports fan, right?
No, I enjoy sports, for sure.
Okay. They're were you watching usually... the Yankees or I mean, where's Gordon come down on all that? Is he a Mets fan or?
I don't know exactly which baseball team he roots for, but I will say that a lot of the games are on past my bedtime, so that's the big hurdle.
So he's the stadium announcer for
the Giants.
The Giants. Yeah, I thought so. And I just wondered if he followed one of the other New York baseball teams. You're either Mets or you're Yankees. You can't be both, right?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I just you know, I mean, I know the Yankees were playing last night, so
I'm a little scared to approach the subject.
Oh,
if you
I guess see
the wrong team. Mm-hmm. it's a little bit of an insult.
I get that.
Yeah, I
know the stock market was up and down yesterday. What's going on out there?
So right now, futures are mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 324, the NASDAQ down 187, and the S&P 500 down 44. Grocery store chain Aldi is opening a new location in Florissant. This week, the store offers fresh produce, cheese and wine, gluten-free and plant-based grocery options, and more. The grocer is known for its low prices and simple selections. The store will host a grand opening tomorrow, and the first 100 customers will receive a gift bag and gift card. The strike among Boeing factory workers has entered its second month. Employees of the plane maker held a large rally yesterday to demand better wages. Boeing recently announced it will cut roughly 10% of its workforce to cut costs amid the strike. Walgreens reported fiscal fourth quarter sales and profit that beat Wall Street's expectations, reflecting the company's efforts to slash costs. The retail drugstore chain also said it plans to close roughly 1,200 stores over the next 3 years. This includes 500 closures in fiscal 2025 alone. The National Retail Federation said it expects consumers to spend more during the upcoming holiday shopping season, but the growth in sales to be slower than last year because of inflation concerns. The agency predicts that shoppers will spend up to $989 billion between November and December, which would represent a 3.5% year-over-year increase. Spending increased by 3.9% in 2022. The average interest rate for 30-year mortgages increased to 6.52%. This is up from 6.36% the week prior. Total mortgage application volume fell 17% last week compared with the previous week. That's according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Refinance demand fell 26% week over week. And finally, a lot of weird fashion trends are emerging this fall. This time, one-legged trousers are gaining popularity on and off the runway. Experts say the asymmetrical trend is likely inspired by the no-pants obsession seen in the past few seasons.
What are one-legged trousers?
Exactly how it sounds. One has full length, like is a full.
And the other's like shorts?
I'm looking at a picture of it right now. Why don't you wear these dead of winter here and see how that goes over?
Are these for men or women?
Mainly women from what I've seen, but I wouldn't be surprised if a version for men gets released shortly after, especially if they do well sales-wise. But
now, my own daughter has certainly worn these, but I've made fun of her every time as well. The jeans that look like a bear mauled the front of them. They got the big, you know, claw rakes through them. They look like they're tattered. But I just can't imagine her wearing something with one leg and not a leg on the other one. That's crazy.
One-legged bodysuits I've seen a lot more of as well.
That's just dumb. I mean, is it like the fall appropriate attire because it's, you know, a little chilly and a little warm at the same time by the afternoon? So that way you're kind of covered on one leg for the morning and then it's relief when it goes up to 80 in the afternoon.
To be honest, I don't think any of it's practical. I think it's all fashion. Plus, people hate pants these days. They'll wear tights. They'll wear underwear,
really?
Shorts.
Whoa,
shorts.
Tights are better than pants?
I'm not saying they're better. I'm saying people have worn it instead of pants.
Oh, my. There's no. That's
I promise
ridiculous.
You, Google it. If you look on the New York Post, you will find pictures of this very trend in the article explaining the one-legged trousers.
Here's the thing. Are you one of those people who sticks one leg out of the sheets at night just to like to moderate your temperature? Like
yes,
it's warm under the sheet and you put one foot out or one leg
not.
Out?
Oh, absolutely not. My legs
no?
will not. Well, my legs, I guess it depends. Is my leg hanging out over the bed? Because that's
just
not okay.
No, not over the bed. Just
even
out,
if
out
it's
of the sheets.
Like the dead of summer, I still have on my big comforter. I cannot sleep with just a sheet.
Wow.
I feel exposed.
Whoa.
Well, it's 32 here this morning. I don't know what the temperature is up where you are, Nicole. But
low 40s. It's not
okay.
Enjoyable.
All right. I'm with you. It's coming, isn't it?
It is. It's already here. I kind of hate it.
I know. All right. Nicole, thank you. We'll talk to you Friday.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yep, you bet. Yeah. Let's hope that fashion stays on the East Coast and doesn't make it to St. Louis. If I see somebody walking down the mall in one-legged trousers, as she described it, I'm going to laugh out loud at them.
I mean, people are trying to find anything to start a trend. And a lot of it starts on TikTok, I feel like. And it's weird. And then the fashion designers catch on. I don't know. I'm not saying that's how all trends start. But it seems like a lot of the stuff comes from TikTok, of all places.
I am subtracting IQ points if I see you wearing that, honestly. It's like immediately.
I feel like if the left would seriously probably want to adopt a policy where it's completely acceptable to walk around naked.
How
like, we're one step away from that. With some of the outfits that I see people wearing, especially these tights for pants, you might as well walk around without pants on or tights on at all. Because a lot of them are, some of them are see-through.
Wow. Really?
Well, I mean, they have some opaque ones,
well,
but they also have
true.
Some that, and now people
that's
might be like, well, those are pantyhose. Whatever. They're not comfortable either way.
What in the world is going on? Honestly. That's kind of where we are these days, huh? Unbelievable. Hey, coming up, we'll get to another news with Ethan here in a few minutes. Next hour, Todd Pyro, a network news anchor, joins us, and I'm going to see what he's told his friend Brett Baer about what questions he should probably be asking of Kamala Harris tonight. We'll be right back.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
It looks like yesterday, veteran rock guitarist Jakey Lee, he was known for playing with Ozzy Osbourne and founding the bands Badlands and Red Dragon Cartel, was shot multiple times while walking his dog in Las Vegas. Police believe the shooting was random. Lee, who is 67, is currently in intensive care but is fully conscious and expected to make a full recovery.
Wow.
That's according to his management. The incident is still under investigation. They don't really know why it happened.
Apparently. Random? Like, we're walking down the strip and somebody opened fire? Was he, like, outside? Does he live there? Outside his home?
Yeah, he lives in Vegas.
Okay.
He was walking his dog. I saw Eddie Trunk posted it on X and said he was okay. The worst of it was he got hit in the lung. So
He's alive.
Survived, though.
I just always wonder in those cases, was it a case of mistaken identity or caught in, you know, crossfire?
Robbed.
It doesn't sound like, well, is that part of it?
They didn't say. It's still under investigation. They have not said why they think it happened. So, yeah.
And he played on that
shot
song.
In the dog.
Shot in the dog.
Okay.
Which someone has already called me out on X shot. For saying that that was cruel.
No. It's his song.
Yeah, he played
it
on that
song.
Yeah,
what else are you going to do, right? Come on.
It looks like Darius Rucker, he took a tumble while performing with Hootie and the Blowfish during the Riverfront Revival Festival in his hometown of Charleston, South Carolina. That was over the weekend, and it marked the end of the band's 43-city tour. Despite tripping on an onstage monitor and face planting mid-performance during his solo hit of All Right, the 58-year-old singer laughed off the fall. Now, some fans are speculating that Rucker may have been on the glug-glug a little bit, noting that his performance was kind of terrible.
Wow.
They said his voice was just...
And he fell on stage?
Yeah, you can see it. Go online. He's just walking around. It shouldn't be funny,
didn't,
but it is.
Didn't Olivia Rodrigo fall on
yes.
stage?
Yes.
Did Sabrina
She's
Carpenter or whatever
no, it was
her name?
Olivia Rodrigo.
Who just did. Fell in the...
She
yeah.
fell
okay.
in a hole.
She did a
out
Post
of it.
Malone.
Yeah.
What's up with everyone falling recently? Are they all glug, glug, glug?
No, it's the fact that they put these trap doors on stage.
Yeah, but they
sometimes
were,
they don't close.
I get that. Okay, maybe it was supposed to close and it didn't, but you also have to wonder if maybe they it was supposed to be like that and she rehearsed and just forgot that it was there.
Right. Now, Sabrina Carpenter is in town tomorrow night at Chaffetz.
Couldn't name a single song of hers.
Espresso.
Couldn't sing it for
maybe
you.
Maybe one of Olivia's ex-boyfriends that she's written such bad songs about left the door open. No, but,
Roseanne.
I'm thinking out loud here.
You get that.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, Sabrina Carpenter is the girl that Olivia Rodrigo is singing about in Driver's License.
Oh.
Well, I bet all those exes of hers have played that video of her falling on repeat.
Probably.
Dude,
she's
play it again.
Taylor
play it
Swift
again.
Doing
slow-mo.
Yeah.
They're in the squad.
Keeping with music news, Lauryn Hill and Wyclef Jean of the Fugees face criticism after arriving over an hour late for their concert in London's O2 Arena on Monday. Many fans left before the duo even took the stage around 10 p.m. The delayed start caused their performance to extend past the venue's curfew of 11 p.m., with the show finishing about 25 minutes late. They were saying fans were leaving about a third of the arena had left before they even got on stage.
So what happens when that happens, Carl?
You get fined. There's
so
a
the
local
band,
curfew.
Who like the city finds them, or the establishment like Enterprise would find them? What would happen?
The promoter will makes the contract.
Okay,
and they say you have to be off by a certain amount of time because, like at Enterprise Center, the union guys are scheduled to work X number of hours, and if they get another break and they get paid double time. So
what kind of a fine are we talking about? Are we $100 or are we talking like $100,000?
Carl can't disclose
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. That's way above
Well, the fan should also get some sort of at least a partial refund.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Do you get a refund if you leave because they didn't show up on time?
You can complain
you
about it.
Yeah.
I got double time because Nicki Minaj went
past
midnight.
1 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I wasn't sorry.
You might like this one, Mark. Cards Against Humanity, known for its edgy party game, is offering up $100 to encourage voters to cast a ballot, but there are some specific qualifications. To qualify for the payment, individuals must not have voted in the 2020 election, must write an apology for skipping the election, and create a voting plan for this year. Also, you must post a pre-written, disparaging comment about former President Donald Trump on social media. There you go, and you'll get $100.
Wow, $100?
I'm going to go home and throw away the box of Cards Against Humanity that we have. We've had it for years. We didn't buy like a new version of it, but it's mostly inappropriate.
Well, if you want to light a fire tonight, you know what you can use for some...
Perfect.
There you go.
That's a great idea. I love that idea.
It's cool enough.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Genevieve Wood coming up here in just a few minutes from the Heritage Foundation. And Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends, on the big interview tonight with Kamala Harris. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.